Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to another episode of Can We Talk Radio, coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, Raz Williams. Well, guys, we have another good show for you tonight, and I'm really excited to get into today's topic and also excited about my panel of co-hosts we have on the show today. I picked a topic that I've always wanted to talk about, and that's the effects of reality TV shows on society. And my personal opinion is that reality television is having an effect on today's society. Adults, teenagers, and small kids spend a lot of their time watching TV. This could be accessed 24/7. Guys, have you ever wondered what ever happened to wholesome family shows such as The Cosby Show, Different Worlds, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Family Matters? Well, nowadays, most people enjoy watching reality TV shows such as Jersey Shore, The Real World, Love and Hip Hop, Flavor of Love. And by the way, Flavor is Alicia's husband. Anyway, Basketball
Wives. Did you really just say that?
Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of Orange County, and Housewives of New York, and all the Housewives. While reality TV can be interesting, it can also have a negative effect. A lot of these shows show cast members doing things that are highly inappropriate. So when a child or a teen or even an adult sees people on TV drinking alcohol, smoking, having sex, having relationship drama, cussing, fighting, it makes them think that they should also be able to do the same thing, or they live their lives vicariously through these erroneous characters. Although I believe that some people will see this behavior and it won't affect the way they conduct themselves, I also believe that most people, especially young people, self-consciously allow reality television to change the way they see themselves. It makes them want to be cooler or more popular by acting in an inappropriate way. So tonight I want to really address the potential negative impact, if at all, that these kind of reality TV shows can have on society. So with that said, I want to introduce my panel of co-hosts. Alicia Cheney's in the building. How you doing, Allie?
Hey, how's it going? I really was taken aback there for a second when I heard you say Flavor Flav was my husband.
It was just a joke, sis. You know how it is.
I know you were. I was laughing, that's why. I was like, last time I checked, he wasn't tall, chocolate, and handsome, but okay, I see we got jokes. That's all right. I can roll with it. I can totally roll with it. That's all right. When I come with my jokes today, don't say anything. But I'm doing good. Thanks so much for having me back again. Glad to be here.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Alicia, so you had a good week?
I did. I had a good week. Very productive. A little bit too busy, but good busy. So it's been a very good week.
All right. So, Alicia, let me ask you, what do you think of today's topic?
I think you picked another stellar idea, Rez. I do. I think this is a good, timely topic because so much of what we see on our TV is, as you hit on, definitely reflective of reality TV. I mean, that's become the main format that so many people are creating. There really isn't what we grew up on anymore, you know, the Cosby Show, Different World, all those good wholesome TV shows. So definitely a good topic, and I'm sure a lot of people will be able to relate to it.
All right, that's absolutely. And for the record, Alicia, Flavor Flav is a real man of God. He's a very handsome man on this planet. Anyway.
yeah. All right. Still joking, I see. No problem.
All right. So with that said, I want to introduce my other co-host, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. We missed you last week, man. How's your week been?
Yeah. Well, I was out. I'm trying to put together a video documentary on Christian rap. And so I had an opportunity to get a lot of local artists together at the same time, so I just had to go for it and get the footage. But, you know, I heard the show was great last week.
Yeah, it was. It was a good show. Alicia, what do you think of last week's show?
I thought it was a good show. We had a good discussion. You know, it was definitely another – I think each week one thing you've managed to do is pick topics that are relevant and timely and something that people can identify and relate to. So I enjoyed last week's topic.
Absolutely.
Hopefully people got a chance to check it out on the archives too.
You know, actually, I checked up the stats in the archives, and we had about probably around 900 and over 900 people listen to the archive show of last week.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, so it was definitely a relevant topic. And we also have another co-host on the show right now from the 909-975. I can't make out who that is. What's up, caller? How you doing? Caller from the 909 area code? Okay.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Eric?
All right.
Okay. All right. I guess we they're kind of shy. Not a problem. All right, then. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different. Tonight I want to kind of introduce a little new segment to our show. And, Ronnie, what do we have going on in the world today?
Well, I got two stories that I found on the it's online website called Christian Post. And, I mean, it was some pretty good topics. They had a long list of topics. I advise anybody who's interested in, like, updated news to check it out. It's good. You know, give us a look at what's going on in other countries, other cities, you know, that have to do with our faith legally and morally. So I was going to share two stories and be brief. And for further details on the story, like I said, I would go to christianpost.com. But the first story I'm going to introduce here is a church and state issue. This happened March 24th, and it has to do with the occurrence in the southeast Ohio. It's the city of Roberts. Three lighted crosses were removed from public view because they were on government property. And so there was a complaint filed by a resident who says, quote, "My opinion is no kind of religious symbol belongs on city property, period." So this person, that's end quote. And so this person lives next door to a water tower that had three crosses, and he went forward and used his American rights to, you know, freedom of speech, to get these crosses taken down. And so he also says that the crosses symbolize a particular religion, and that's a violation of the First Amendment, which is the separation of church and state. And so for anybody who's listening to this, I wouldn't let it get me upset, but I would like for people to go and research what the First Amendment, as far as separation of church and state, really is about, so that we could also exercise our rights to freedom of religion. And so the church and state issue was put in the amendment so that the government cannot enforce religion, But in the same term, the government can't stop you from expressing your faith. So the thing is, if they're taking crosses down, don't let that deter you. What you have to do is advance in, well, I wouldn't say public displays of worship just to get on people's nerves, but, you know, public Bible studies, prayer at schools. You know, I would just encourage people to be Christians all the time. You know, the church and state amendment doesn't stop you from sharing your faith. The amendment doesn't stop you from holding prayer meetings. And so, you know, I would just want to encourage believers, if you don't know what to do when the church and state issue is presented to you, remember that the church and state issue is there so that you can't be stopped from professing your faith and exercising the grace and mercy that the Father has given us. So I just wanted to get your take on that, Raz, as far as the church and state issue. You got any words on that?
That's a really interesting topic, man. I think it's coming down to that point where, I'm definitely into my conspiracies, and I really believe that they're really trying to water down Christianity and different things of that nature. So they're going to do things that's going to try to pollute the waters, you know. That's my comment on that.
That's right. Yeah. Alicia, you got any church and state position or information?
Oh, wow. In regard to church and state, you know, it's there's a lot that can be said on that topic, and I just go back to the foundation. As far as our nation is concerned, America, we were founded upon Christian principles. So now all this separation of church and state, it's interesting how they want to keep God out of everything, whether it's the classrooms, you know, and then, you know, they'll let guns in the classrooms but won't allow prayer in. So a lot can be said about that. So that's an interesting story topic that you bring up.
Yeah. And so, like I said, you know, if anybody gets anything out of this, don't be discouraged if they're taken down. They took down a prayer from a high school. They took the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom, and they're, you know, taking down these crosses. And I'm sure they're not going to stop there. But the same way they can go forward to take down these symbols that don't move and don't speak, we that are the body of Christ are not being stopped from being the body of Christ. So if you're at your school and you can gather with about 20 Christians there, I would do that and pray for your school publicly. I would hold public Bible studies, not for spite, but just because you believe. And so that for the people that are looking around, they won't see that the spirit of truth is been wiped out. So you guys are going to have to be the crosses. We're going to have to be the Ten Commandments, and we're going to have to be the evidence that there's a Savior. So that's that first topic. And I got another story. It's there's a theologian named John Piper. You guys ever heard of him? Any of you guys?
I think I vaguely heard about him. I don't know who he is,
okay.
Or I don't know, but I heard the name.
Yeah, you know, I just stumbled across him too. What, Alicia, you heard of him?
I was going to say, I believe I vaguely heard the name too. I can't say any specific details on him though.
Okay. Well, this brother John Piper is saying that the pastor is not the infallible or ultimate authority. This is May 23rd, earlier this week. And so the story begins, like I said, you can get the full story if you go to thechristianpost.com. But this story begins with a popular theologian and founder of Deserving God, John Piper, says it is a good practice for Christians to make sure their pastors and church leaders agree with the teachings of the Bible. John Piper says, and I quote, "The Bible is the ultimate authority and infallible, not the pastor, not the elder. And it does not mean that you believe everything the leadership says without examining it," says Piper in a recent discussion about whether online church sermons undermine local churches. And so I chose that one because I agree with that. You know, I wouldn't discourage anybody from investigating, from writing down scriptures and making sure they're being kept in context, from I'm not saying necessarily challenge your pastor to make him look like a fool, but challenge him to make him a better teacher. And so, you know, I just want to ask you guys, what's your take on this topic as far as doing the research on the pastor, making sure the leadership, wherever you congregate, is in line with biblical scripture?
Brad, oh man, I think that's very important. I mean, we did a show, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Ronnie, where we talked about emotional manipulators and wolves in sheep's clothing, and we had a category where pastors did fall in line with that topic. And I think in this time and day, when there's a lot of spiritual deception, when there are wolves sent out there among sheep to specifically deceive people, I think that there are people who are hurting, people who are weak-minded, people who are emotionally distraught, will fall prey and victim to strong-minded, manipulative, and pastors out there who want to take advantage of people, unfortunately. So I think it's very important, so you do not get led astray, to make sure that you you do your research and you really read your word, so that you can actually cross-reference what that pastor is saying, make sure that he's speaking biblical truth. But the problem is, a lot of people don't read their Bibles, so that's my comment.
Right on. What about you, Alicia, about making sure you're getting sound doctrine in your congregation?
Absolutely. I mean, that's our responsibility. And so oftentimes people neglect that responsibility and just leave it up to whatever pastor is teaching them and assume just because they're standing behind a pulpit that what they're delivering is the word of God. And that's how people end up getting led astray. And it's our due diligence as Christians to know the word and be well-versed in it enough to be able to recognize when someone is speaking contrary to the word. And I think about what Paul said, follow me as long as I am following God. But how can you, like, even if you look at your pastor, how can you continue to follow his leadership if you don't know whether he's following God because you haven't taken the time to study the word for yourself? And so I just say that in this day and age where we're living in, where so much of what you hear and see is contrary to the word, but it's packaged in a format that looks like it's the word, you have to be careful of that or you will be led astray. And the word of God talks about that, especially in these end times. So I definitely believe it's something that we as believers have to be concerned about and really be mindful of, knowing our word well enough that we are able to, you know, recognize whether our pastors and leaders are teaching us in accordance with the word of God.
Yeah, I agree. And like I say, for anyone listening, it's not a matter of, looking to reject the pastor, but, iron sharpens iron, and that's what we're going to be doing if we hold our pastors accountable. And if the pastor knows that his congregation is not just an airhead congregation, he's going to have to come with the truth because someone's going to come to him about it. So just encouraging people to do your personal study and, for the sake of the whole congregation, make sure your pastors are in line with the word of the Bible. And guess what? That's the news. But I do got one question. Did any of you two hear about the Boy Scouts passing I guess they're allowing gay members as far as little boys or workers?
Yeah, I did see that.
Well, so, you know, that's the Boy Scouts. The kids are being introduced. The kids are being sexualized. And so it's being deemed as legal. So as believers, you know, I want to encourage everybody to at least be abreast of what laws are being passed. We already got about 13 same-sex marriage states. You know, these laws are being passed because I believe part of the problem is the body of Christ is asleep as far as politics. We know that we don't believe in politics, but, you know, these things are happening right before your eyes, right under your nose. And so I just encourage people to try to stay abreast. But that's it. Yeah, that's the news.
All right. That's. Thank you very much, Ronnie. We really appreciate you bringing that news again. This is a new segment we're going to introduce to the show. And thanks a lot for that, Ronnie. And you know what, guys? I was expecting two more co-hosts that we were going to add to our show today, and I believe we may have one from the 909-975 area code. Are you there? I guess maybe they're just probably just listening in. All right, but thank you for calling in and listening in. Guys, if you're listening, just tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the effects of reality TV shows upon society. And if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call the show at area code 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, what I'm going to do real quick is usually when we start a topic like this, I usually research some stats, and I kind of want you guys to like check this out real fast. A Girl Scout Research Institute said girls and young women watching such reality TV shows grew to accept and expect an increased level of bullying, drama, and aggression in their own lives. Point number two, a total of 78% of young female reality fans thought that gossip was merely a relationship norm among friends. A total of 68% of participants felt being catty was a natural way for women to behave with one another. The Girl Scout study on non-scripted shows indicated that fans also noted that they have issues trusting their friends to a tune of 63%. Percentages from participants who were not reality show watchers scored far lower in all categories. A Today study also revealed that many reality show fans suffer from low self-esteem and neurotic behavior more than non-viewers. So boredom in their own personal lives was cited as one of the top reasons why Americans pop themselves in front of the TV and watch reality TV shows. So my question today to today's panel is, I want to ask this question to Alicia. Do reality TV programs show true reality?
No. That doesn't take long to answer that question. And the reason I say that is because just doing different projects within the entertainment industry and getting different casting breakdowns, one of the way they even format or title what is considered reality TV is called it scripted TV. And so you definitely know that these segments that you're seeing, even though they're intended to portray real life, they are scripted because they recognize if they were just following people around and catching what was going on in their daily life, it could be very well uninteresting to a lot of people. And so what they do is create different scenarios, and then they have those scenarios reenacted. And interestingly, earlier I was at an appointment, and when I was there, one of the shows that came up was Khloe and Lamar, and that's one of the Kardashian sisters, and there's a segment on there. And it was like as I was watching the segment, all I could think to myself is this was just staged. It was very much a situation that was probably recreated, or a situation to say, okay, we're going to have a best friend upset with her and kind of what transpires from there. And so I look at it from a different point of view now. If I ever watch a show like that or catch a snippet of it, I don't look at it as if this is real and a camera is just following these people, showing what happens in their real day-to-day life. I look at it from a perspective of, this is Hollywood looking to make money, and as a result, they are creating scenarios that are going to be of what they think interest to people who are watching it.
Absolutely. Ronnie, what do you think about that point?
I believe Alicia touched it well. I can remember while she was talking, a couple of years ago, Oprah Winfrey was being followed around, and they were doing a reality show, I think, on some transitional part in her life, her and the female that she hangs out with. They were asked to, the news break or the breaking story was that she went off because the producer asked her to reenact something that just happened, and Oprah was real blunt about, no, what do you think, I'm about to redo that? I'm not going to redo that. You missed it. So just in that, you get to see that the producers are asking for the replay, and that eliminates it from reality TV show. Or, well, I mean, I guess that does, the false reality does make your reality TV show, but just that alone was evidence that they're asking them to play a role.
Wow. So I want to ask this question to Alicia. Why do they say it's reality when clearly it's not?
Well, I believe when reality TV came out, you know, you look at when it first started, and I think really one of the first reality shows, I don't know if you guys remember this, but how many people remember The Real World? And
yep.
It's still on today, I think. It's probably in season 25 by now. But when this started, I'm not going to date myself as to how long ago this was, but when it very first started, it was one of the first reality shows, and it was creating a scenario of what happens when you put, I think it was 5 or 6, 7 strangers in a home and cameras capture what really takes place. And so I think when that show first started, it did start with more of a reality type scenario, meaning what transpires when you mix people from completely different backgrounds. So is reality reality? I think when it started, maybe that was an idea, but where it is now, I think it's far from reality because they have a way of staging it in such a way that it seems like it's real, whether it's, you know, let's make sure she's driving this car and she's wearing this outfit and she just happens to see this person walking down the street. So then you begin to think as a viewer, if you don't have any understanding how TV works, that, wow, look at her husband. He's taking her out to dinner 5 nights a week. Well, if they're trying to create an image of a husband and a wife who are lovey-dovey, well, of course they're going to do that. So I would just say, is reality TV real? No, it's not real in the degree that what you're seeing is a real scenario. It's very much has other elements incorporated in it that make it, in my opinion, very much fake TV. I mean, it is.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. One of the things point I wanted to make was that when you look at a lot of reality TV shows, you're seeing an increase of violence and fighting and young children who are watching this who are on the verge of developing their value systems and their moral behavior. This is such a powerful influence on them. And Ronnie, I wanted to ask you, how do you think that the escalation of violence in these reality shows has an effect on society?
It has a definite effect on you because as a kid, especially you talked about the children, they're picking up everything. They're learning from everything, whether it be good or bad. Whatever you put in front of them, they'll learn it, and they're going to pick up more than you think. And it's going to develop their character. It's going to affect their psyche, and it's going to affect their habits and behavior. So when you got a youngster watching shows where everybody's just cussing, even the chef, the top chef guy, Chef Ramsay,
yeah.
You let your little baby watch that, beep, bleep, 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 bleep. He's cussing everybody out. Everybody's cussing. The contestants are cussing. Everybody's cussing. If you don't think this little child is picking up cuss words, you're fooling yourself. And so he's going to take what he's learned on television, and he's going to take it to the schoolyard. And unfortunately, society is going to reinforce all the negativity because they're learning from the same source. And so it's going to definitely affect a child or a person, even an adult. You know, after about 6 hours of that negative energy, it's bound to rub off on you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that brings me to my next point, and I want to I guess ask this question to both of you, but Alicia first. Is there seems to be a lot of pressure on the youth and on people in general when it comes to reality TV shows. For example, let's take America's Top Model. This is a show that looks for models that are super thin and display a certain image to impress the industry, thus receiving a contact to win. you know, a contestant, has to do certain things to fit in. So women who are not that size, who can't fit into tiny clothing and are not a size 6 model, how do you think that negatively affects their self-image, and are they under pressure to comply or to try to fit into that sort of industry? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, and I think one way that you can see the very real effect of some of the different images that you see, whether it's on a show like that promotes modeling and all super thin, or magazine images that promote that same image, is when you look at young girls and they're talking about going on a diet. Well, why at 13 do you need to go on a diet, you know? Or why are you at 13 or teenage years suffering from eating disorders? So I believe that so often if women, young girls, I'll say, are looking to TV, reality TV, or even just images that you see in general in the media, and they're looking at those as their perspective on what's beautiful, then they'll immediately look at themselves and begin to see how they may not fit into that mold. And so ultimately, those things are telling them, if you want to be beautiful, you need to look like this. And I can think back even when I very first moved out to L.A., and I've, for the most part, I would say for the past 10 years, I've been a size 4, and that's just been my standard size. Well, this girl that I know asked me to do a runway show. She was launching this new clothing line, and I went down there, and she had some clothes that she wanted me to wear for the fashion show. And I was, I'm not joking, as I said, I've been a size 4, I was the biggest girl there. And I
wow.
couldn't fit the clothes. And you think about a size 4, that's on the smaller size range of what the average woman is. And, you know, when you look at what they say statistically is the average woman, she's anywhere from a 10 to a 12. So when you look at what the average American size of a woman is, 10 to 12, and you're getting the image from TV that 0 to 2 is the size that you need to be, then you're, if you're not confident in who you are, you're going to begin to think something's not right with me. And so I just think that women, young girls especially, have to be mindful that if they're watching these types of programs, that they can't allow those programs to shape their idea of what is beautiful.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. Ronnie, the same question to you.
Yeah, I believe that watching these shows, not just the reality shows, but just from media and the corporations that own them, they're pushing their agenda on you, and they're pushing their beliefs on you and their positions on you. And one of the positions that they're trying to do is make you think that if you're normal, you're abnormal. And so the thing is, most of the fads and the fashions are geared to the person, the human, the creation that God made, altering themselves to fit this mold that society accepts. And people are going to great lengths. People are tying their stomachs to lose weight. People are taking pills to lose weight, getting the fat sucked out of them to keep up with society's standard, and not being happy with the way God created them. Because the corporations, they have to sell their toxic to make their profit. And for them to make their profit, they ultimately destroy God's creation with the pills, the diets, the suggestions. If you can't fit this, there's something wrong with you. But we need to wake up and realize there's something definitely wrong with society. When everyone is unhappy, if you look at the reality TV show, it's not a good show unless there's complete dysfunction. And so, yeah, people need to wake up and see that they're made right and society is wrong. And there is definite pressure for you to fit into society's mold, especially if you allow it in your life.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Excellent point, Ronnie. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about the effects of reality TV shows on society. The number to call in if you have a question or comment, we would love to hear from you. please call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I want to talk about, I have this kind of a love-hate relationship with reality shows in the sense that I like some of them, and I love the fact that I can come home from a hard day at work and just shut my mind off and watch it and just be entertained. But at the same time, I get outraged when I see the ghetto, trifling, ratchet behavior that I see on these TV shows. And it kind of leads me to my next point, which is, why are these reality stars, they seem to display the willingness to engage in risky and unethical behavior just for fame? For example, case in point, anyone that can kiss Flavor Flav on the lips is engaging in risky, unethical behavior. I'm sorry, Flavor Flav. I just had to put that out there like that, man.
Oh, Flavor Flav catching on every side today.
But you know what? But not only that, I mean, you're showing yourself being intimate with another man or woman on TV just for fame. I mean, let's take I Love New York. This is a chick who was loud. She was on the I Love Flav show. She was loud, obnoxious, just crazy. And I think she even slept with Flav on the show, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, it seemed the more crazy she was, the more she was awarded by having, they gave her own show. And on that show they gave her, she probably smashed two dudes in the process. And it just seemed as though that, you know, and all the other females on there who was, and two of them were really educated. They had degrees, master's degrees and everything, but they still push that aside to engage in risky behavior and unethical behavior just for fame. And Alicia, I want to pose that question to you. And why do you think that is?
And when you say, why do I think that is, what specifically are you saying? Why, what
as
part,
far
why
as
they would engage in the risky behavior with someone like a Flavor Flav?
I mean, just for fame, period. I mean, Flavor Flav is just an example, but we see it all the time. I mean, Housewives of Atlanta and all those kind of shows where you see women just acting crazy. And it seems the crazier they become, the more ratings they get. So therefore, I'm not sure if that's encouraged. I don't know, but it just seems as though they want to let loose on all sense of decency just to be on TV.
Yeah, and you know, when you say why do you think that is, the first thing I would say would be thinking of the scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so when you go back to these shows, they're willing to pay you to be on their show, and one, you'll get money, but then two, people are looking to parlay their 15 minutes of success or 15 minutes of fame into their own reality show. And so you look at somebody like a NeNe Leakes, who's on the Atlanta Housewives series, and she's, you know, boisterous, outspoken, all of these different things, and, you know, fits into the stereotypical mode of what some people probably envision for a African-American woman. And it's unfortunate, but I believe that when you look at people like her or other individuals, that what it comes down to is they are looking for money out of these situations, and they're looking to either build a brand. You think about some people who may have played with, you know, as you mentioned, Flavor Flav. Well, who really would not, you know, I mean, Flavor Flav, as we all know, is not the cutest person. So keeping that in mind, it's like what woman would, you know, in her right mind really want to have a shot at dating him, except someone who's really in search of fame. And what happens is if you get your few minutes of fame here, they're thinking, well, maybe now I'll have enough name recognition that I'll get an opportunity over here. And so I think that's kind of where people, their mindset really is our culture has become one that glorifies people who are on TV. And if you can do anything to get yourself on TV, then you've in some way made it. And so people will do what they can to get a reality show, you know, and the more reality shows are popular, reality shows are more and more coming out of the works. You know, I think of the ones that deal with, you know, the preacher's wives, or there's just so many shows out there, but you'll always find someone to be on a show like that because they're offering money.
Wow. The Preacher's Wives, I mean, I think I saw an episode of that, and I was really shocked by what I saw. That was not a representation of what Christ represents, or it was not,
yeah.
You know, it was just completely carnal, you know, carnal. And, you know, unbelievers who see that are like, wow, that's what Christians are like, and I don't want nothing to do with that. So I was kind of offended by that show. But Ronnie, I wanted to kind of discuss this with you real fast. It just seems as though this, again, just like they're attacking Christianity by taking away prayer and the Ten Commandments out of schools, and therefore we have an increase of violence and just unethical behavior such as homosexuality, which God prohibits. But with the increase of reality TV shows, do you not think there's an agenda why they're actually pushing this versus the wholesome shows such as The Cosby Show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Family Matters? There's a reason why they're making it more accessible to people, why it's becoming so popular. I want to ask you what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know, my thoughts on it, I'm somebody who was pretty much, like, I'm a latchkey kid, you know, raised on TV, and so I've seen the decline of the quality of shows. You know, I'm not saying the industry changed or even the mission of the industry and you know, all the levels of wickedness it involves has changed, but now there's such a blatant disregard for morality, you know, when you got when you throw in the reality show, like I said earlier, I think the foundation of it is dysfunction. The whole, you're not going to have a good reality show based on a guy who works 10 hours a day, takes care of his children, loves his wife, you know, helps his children with homework. That's not going to make a good reality show because the appetite has been built to seek for dysfunction. You know, it's good to see, you know, youngsters stumbling around, getting drunk, fighting. It's good to see women going off and disrespecting men and vice versa. That makes a good reality show. Just straight up dysfunction and total disregard for morality, lack of respect for yourself and for humanity makes a good reality TV show. This is why they watch it, for the arguments, for the scandal, for, you know, basically everything the Bible teaches against. That's what reality shows are about. Like you mentioned earlier, is there an agenda? And then Alicia was talking about the real world. And so, you know, let's go back to even the shock jock age. I don't know if you guys remember. I'm dating myself, but, you know, I'm in my late 30s. But there was a time when the midday show, before it was Maury, it had some substance. And then I watched it totally degenerate to Jerry Springer. Everything is about gays, dysfunction. If you read Leviticus 18 all the way through, you'll see that the title of almost every Jerry Springer show fits there and what God detests. And so, yeah, there's a definite agenda to demoralize and desensitize youth to morality. You know, once you keep showing these kids all of this wickedness, they won't even blink when they're doing the wrong thing. They won't even be able to sense that they're doing wrong because their favorite star gets rewarded for being immoral. So I believe even the players of these reality shows are not to blame. They're also victims as well as the people that are watching them. And they're not a victim of just the corporation, but they're the victim of the spirit that's fueling that kind of motive and agenda, which is ultimately the enemy of humanity, which is the first fallen angel and Satan. It's because it's all wicked. It's all going against the Bible. And since a lot of people are deprived from the Word of God, they don't even realize that they're taking the bait of the enemy. And so, you know, if I was to place blame, it wouldn't be on the celebrities because, you know, they're just, to them, they're just trying to make a living. They're probably, you know, more than knee-deep involved in it. So they got to go forward and perform, and this is how they eat. But there's victims making more victims for the ultimate victimizer, which is Satan. So there is a definite agenda to deprive humanity and make them, to keep them in a fallen state.
Absolutely, that's an awesome point, Ronnie. And I want to add to that and say that there's also an attack on the family, which is which is what was instituted by God. And once you children are they are pretty much our future. You know, we're raising the next generation right now. So if you can pump garbage and dysfunctionalism into their mindset, and and the more you feed the flesh, the more the flesh is going to overpower the spirit. And all you're going to have is out of control people walking around who are detached from real life and have no real morals, no real center of gravity as far as a spiritual compass is. It's just a complete breakdown of society. So that leads me to my next point, where I want to talk about the portrayal of women, especially black women, in reality TV shows, which are not realistic. Women in general, but I want to particularly focus on black women, especially because they seem to be obnoxious, aggressive, all about drama, catty, petty, sex craze, and just real darn crazy. And I believe these reinforce negative stereotypes around the world. Case in point, my sister was traveling overseas one time, and she mentioned that she had met she was somewhere in Europe, and she had met these people, introduced herself, and they assumed that she was the kind of woman that would shake her butt, because that's the images they were seeing on TV. And so it's kind of like, this is really, I thought that was really an important point to make, because these shows are training people who don't really know about our culture, who don't know any better, how we really are, or how we are not. You see what I'm saying? So I want to ask that question to Alicia. What do you think about the way women are being portrayed all around the world, especially black women, in reality TV shows?
Well, I, once again, kind of going back to my, experience or what have you from different things dealing with the entertainment industry, the way a lot of this stuff works, one, when they're casting for a show, they're casting character types. So one character type that oftentimes they fit black women into is loud, obnoxious, sassy attitude. And so because that's what, for some reason, they've come to associate with our personality. And so it's not uncommon that you'll turn on the TV and you'll see that loud, black, obnoxious, woman who, like a NeNe Leakes or someone of the likes, falls into that role. And it's unfortunate that those are the stereotypes that are being presented, because we as black women are so much more than that, and women in general are so much more than that. And even one of the more recent experiences I had just this week, I'm in this hosting class in L.A., and one of the students in class got up to present her, scripts in front of everyone. And the way she presented it wasn't the way the teacher anticipated that she would. And he said, and she's a black girl, and he said, when you get up there, my thought that you're going to come with some sass and some attitude, and look at the way you're dressed. And immediately he had this stereotypical impression of her based upon, one, maybe the way she looked, or even maybe some of the images that he had seen in the media, because that's what they believe we are. And if you don't have any other experience with someone on a one-on-one basis beyond that, you're going to only believe what you've seen portrayed in the media. So those images are hurtful as far as damaging how people perceive us, and that's oftentimes why so many people may say, oh, black women have an attitude. So it just really has to be us as black women choosing not to fall into those stereotypical roles and say, nope, I'm not going to do that. I decline that project. I'll instead choose this project, and start creating roles where you find more positive images of women in general, but then black women specifically.
Absolutely. Juana, you made a point about, you know, you don't blame these reality stars because they're victims as well. And I would partially agree with that. But at the same time, like Alicia said, I also want to add that, you know, as black women, you know, don't put yourself in those kind of situations where you degrade yourself, because, I mean, there's a reason why they want to reinforce these negative stereotypes about you. They're not doing it for the love of it. They're doing it for a specific reason, so that they can shape, society can put you in a mold and classify you and describe you in ways that God did not describe you as, you know. So, Juani, what are your comments about, I mean, why people put themselves in those kind of positions? I mean, we know it's for fame, we know it's, but are they not thinking about the long-term consequences of what this means? Yes, you may have fame for a hot minute, but at the end of the day, which reality star really became, really, I know Kim Kardashian, so, you know, did a porno and sold that, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I mean, fighting on TV, doing all these crazy stuff, I mean, that's just degrading yourself.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's more dynamic than what I have to say, but as far as what I've seen, you know, the person would get there, basically, they got to eat. This might be the only chance they have, and they might be loving the wickedness involved with it as well, because when you're lost, you can make an excuse to do anything wrong. And so, if I look at someone on a reality show making a fool of themselves, at some point they've convinced themselves that this is what they have to do. You know, I believe that they're victims out of straight either ignorance or programming. And especially if you grew up with the living for the weekend mentality, you're not looking 10 years down the line. If you're living fast, you're partying hard, you're drinking, you smoking big, you know, you're not really concerned about what's going to happen in 10 years. I know me as a youngster, I never thought what's going to happen to me at 30. I'm dealing with just the weekend and getting faded. And so that's probably the mentality of most of the reality show, because the first thing you see is that they really don't care. So if they're showing you that they don't care about this 30-minute situation or episode, you know, there's part of them that don't really care about future and down the line. A lot of these people are hurting, and this is how they get to exercise their pain, by acting a fool. It might be all they know. We don't know their history as far as what kind of neglect, what kind of abuse that they're acting out, and America is just loving the fact that this person is stuck in a demonic mode. But we don't know that this person is in torment, you know. A lot of the reality shows, they're drinking themselves to sleep, the stars, you know what I mean? They're unhappy. But the reason why they would make a fool of themselves that way, we see it as making a fool. For the most part, it's most likely they're crying out for help. So, like I said, I believe they're victims to the machine and the system that's set up by the enemy.
Absolutely. I want to quickly give a list of some of the worst reality shows that I think that I've seen, in my opinion, and maybe I'll ask you guys what you think and see if you can add to any of the lists. Have any of you guys ever seen My Super Sweet 16 on MTV?
I think I caught it when it first started coming out, because I haven't been watching them kind of shows in a while.
Well, this is a show about, you know, kids that are about to turn 16, you know, with rich families, rich parents, and they're tripping out because their mommy and daddy booked them the wrong color Lexus for their birthday, and I think I think even though it looks kind of fun and cool, I think that that can send the wrong message to kids growing up and put them under a lot of pressure to keep up with the Joneses. The next one I had on my list was I know this is Alicia's favorite one is Keeping Up with Kardashians. Keeping up with the Kardashians. What do you think about that, Alicia?
You know, I don't watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, so sorry, I don't keep up with the Kardashians. You know, I mean, I'm sure like everyone else, I've probably seen a snippet of an episode or two or something like that related to Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but personally, I don't watch those shows because I'm not really a fan of their lifestyle, and honestly, when you watch, it's very easy to know that what you're seeing is not real. This isn't just a real scenario that just happened to take place and transpire and the cameras were there at the time this all took, you know, took place. It very much comes across as scripted. So it just really isn't, you know, it just takes away from any element of enjoyment that may have been there. But I have seen the other show that you mentioned about My Super Sweet 16. And really, once again, I think even shows like that can really kind of create for young kids, especially, you know, teenagers, high schoolers, the idea that this is what my life should be like. And if I don't have a life like the Joneses or like the kids on My Super Sweet 16, then, hey, what's wrong with me, you know? And they're all trying to outdo the next one, or, oh, I need a brand new car for my Sweet 16, or I need to have this lavish party with celebrities coming, Mom, for my Super Sweet 16. And honestly, I think when I turned 16, it was just like, hey, I'm 16. I don't even know that there's a party for it. I mean, but that's just the day and age that we're living in, that now it's like, okay, you're 16, and now, you know, it is a milestone to celebrate, but the degree that we're emphasizing and investing in things that aren't important. And my question would be, well, what are you investing that's a value that's going to be eternal or a long-lasting value? Do you have morals that you've instilled in them? You know, maybe they'll have a nice Sweet 16, but what do they have beyond that?
Right.
So some of these
absolutely.
Shows are definitely interesting.
Definitely, definitely. And another one on my list I had down was Bad Girls Club. And interestingly enough, guys, check this out. I don't know if you've ever seen the logo on the TV, but they actually have devil's horns coming out of their logo. Isn't that crazy, Wani? But the premise of this show is showing crazy alcoholic women getting drunk in a nice house. And the whole premise is that the better you are, you get kicked off the show. But the more you display bad behavior, fighting, being evil, malicious, maniacal to each other, the person wins. That's crazy. In fact, one of the girls on the show, she even said that, I'm not sure if she was a believer or not, but she even said that she swears that there was a devil in the house. And I was like, wow. And the next one I had down was Mob Wives. As if Real Housewives wasn't enough, you know what I mean? Mob Wives, it's full of violence. It's dramatic women on TV. It's just crazy, man. And then the next I had on my list was Flavor of Love, Alicia's favorite show. Flavor of Love.
I'm starting to wonder, all these different shows he knows about Ronnie, I'm just wondering if this isn't his secret, you know, kind of pastime.
Right.
You know, Mob Wives, Super Sweet 16. You seem to be world well educated on all these reality shows.
Yeah, you school to me, bro.
That's all right.
Wow,
he stuff out of the archives.
Right.
I can't believe Alicia would try to front me on my own show. Anyway, but you know what? It's called research.
Let me ask you, when you were researching your shows, did you have to watch them this week too?
Actually, a lot of them don't even come on TV from what I heard.
Okay. Well, anyway, okay, I'm sorry. Back to it. I forgot it's your show. Go ahead, Brad.
Okay. Guys, we'll get back to Alicia. We'll get her before we get up the show. Don't worry. We'll get her real good. So basketball-wise is another one that I had. I want to ask you guys, like, what are your first question to Alicia, since she had a lot to say just a minute ago. What are your worst, in your opinion, your worst reality TV shows and why?
You were asking me... What would I say is the worst reality TV show? Is that what you asked me, Raz?
that you've seen or the best one that you've seen? Because all reality TV shows are not bad.
Oh, the best one.
Yeah.
Only one I can think of that I watched a while ago, and this would have probably been about a year and a half ago, but I did watch the Tia and Tamara show. And it wasn't, you know, I thought it was fine. I mean, okay, you can laugh about it. Let me say this. Okay, I will confess. Here is my, I guess, guilty pleasure, if you want to call it such. One show that I have watched occasionally that is a reality TV show is I do watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So this past season, I watched the whole season of The Bachelor. So there you go. That's my favorite reality show.
Why that?
Why The Bachelor?
Yeah, please tell us. We'd like to know.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. I think all women kind of, even though you look, and I know it's all still created to show this, oh, romantic courtship, this romantic love relationship. But at the end of the day, I do enjoy just being able to see, like, oh, you know, two people fall in love. Now, don't get me wrong. Most of the couples break up and don't end together. But this past season was a good season because it was really enjoyable. You felt like both people genuinely wanted to be together. And so that was why I enjoyed it. It was like, oh, that's so nice. And so I think it's just kind of a combination of things. Most girls have a fairy tale idea of meeting some Prince Charming and, you know, they're riding together into the sunset on, you know, all that other stuff. So I think the show does a good job of trying to really create this romantic illusion. Even though I don't necessarily agree with the idea of how it goes about, because one part that I do have a problem with, if I were on the show and a guy is the bachelor and he selected me at the end of the show and I have to watch the whole season where you're kissing 24 other women, I would be like, wait a minute, you kissed her, her, and her, and then you dated me. And so, as I said, it's my guilty pleasure. So even though you do enjoy the idea of seeing two people fall in love, the whole portion of it of him dating other women at the same time, I don't like. So there are aspects of it that I don't care for, and I wouldn't want to meet my husband that way. I'll say that.
Wow, that's pretty good, Alicia. That's a good point. Well, guys, it looks like we have a caller from the 562 area code. And a caller from the 562 area code, how are you? And thanks for calling in. Do you have a question or comment? Caller from the 562 area code? Okay. Looks like they're probably just listening in. Ron, I'm going to ask you that same question. What do you feel about your, from what you've seen so far in reality shows, what would be your worst? And let me ask you, what would be your best?
The worst is Cops. like I said, man, I tuned out, man. I haven't been keeping up with them. The last one I remember seeing was like and you could tell it was negative and dysfunctional. Something about Toni Braxton and her sisters and her mom. You know, you could just tell that it was just dysfunction, that it was like, you know, a plane about to crash. So I would say that, you know, anything in line with that would be the worst. And me personally, if I'm watching a reality show, it's probably going to be something like Rick Steves Europe. You know, this guy who travels around and talks about history, so... You know, if I'm going to watch some reality, I'll watch some in that lane.
Absolutely. I would say that my favorite would be that show that they have when they fix up houses and they donate them to people, families that are in need. I think it's a positive show.
Oh, is that not Extreme Home Makeover?
Yeah, there you go. I would say that.
I like that show, too. That's a good one.
Oh, well, what do you know? We got something in common, Alicia. I don't like Flavor and Flavor, so I just want to let you know for that for the record, though. But anyway.
Neither do I.
But you know what? Another one I liked was that, you know that dude, he goes around and eats those big, he always has those food-eating challenges, and he goes around eating all this kind of food. And that he must have like an iron cast stomach or something, man, because, jeez, he'd be pounding that food away and eating those, like, hamburgers the size of plates. You know what I mean? You ever seen that show?
What network does it come on? I don't know that I've seen that one.
I think it comes on Oxygen or something like that, or Bravo, one of those two.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it comes on. And that's an interesting one. There's another guy that I like. I think his name is Andrew Zimmerman. He goes around eating all kinds of strange foods around the world. You ever seen that one before?
I think that's a show my brother likes. So
yeah,
I don't know,
like,
that I've seen that one.
And all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah,
Wow.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. So yeah, but anyway. I wanted to ask you, both of you guys, this question. I'm going to start with Ronnie first. And more importantly, Ronnie, I want to talk about the spiritual ramifications about the negative aspects of reality shows and how it can affect people's emotional state and therefore spirit. So what would you have to say about that?
Okay. Well, it definitely has an effect on the person watching. There's a point made in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33, and the point is evil company corrupts good habits.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you want to call it that or not, when you invite these people into your house through the TV and you spend this 30 minutes to an hour with them, or if you run into a marathon where they're playing it all day, this becomes your company. And your time with them can corrupt the good habits that you may have, or the good habits that are available to you to have. But if you spend your time with this bad company, that's what the dysfunctional reality show really is. It's bad company. You know,
wow.
It's people that, it's just bad company. And so what it's going to do is it's going to corrupt your good habits. How? Because it's entering your psyche. You know, and if you do any kind of spiritual study from a biblical standpoint, you understand that your psyche, your thoughts, your consciousness, that realm in between spirit and flesh is your soul, your heart, your psyche, your heart. So whatever you're putting into your eyes enters your heart. So if you filled yourself up on the bad girls with the cussing and the being way out of order and you know, just degrading themselves. If you filled yourself up with that, that's the only thing you'll be able to do to a certain extent. You know, their habits and their characteristics will reflect on you because you've absorbed them into your soul, into your spirit. I mean, and your spirit's going to pay the consequence because your body's actually going to follow these desires to do what you saw. A lot of people, whether they want to admit it or not, you're following because you do what you see. If you just go to the mall and look at the majority of people, they're all dressed alike because they do what they see. So something they've seen has entered into their psyche and now is being acted out physically by their choices. So when you sit around and you let these deceptive TV shows become your company and your influence, it's going to show. You're going to talk like them. You're going to act like them. You're going to even want to have a night like they had. And because they did it, because, you know, the girl on TV threw up, drank it, and it was cool, you won't mind doing it because you're under their influence. And so, you know, as far as anybody listening, don't lie to yourself. Whatever you see has a definite impact on your psyche, your subconscious, which is your soul, and it will affect your habits and your choices, and your spirit will have to pay for that. So yeah, dealing with these dysfunctional shows will only breed dysfunction in your life.
Ronnie, you definitely brought the pain. That was a very good point. And you know, I definitely agree with what you said, Ronnie. I like what you said, and that's so true because I mean, a lot of people think because they're adults and, oh, that's not going to affect me, but no, it is going to affect you. The Bible does say that, you know, bad company corrupts good manners. And whatever you, like you said, whatever you listen to, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And if you,
okay.
you know, by the word of God, it should be coming by the word of God. But if it comes by through another source, a negative source, then guess what? You're going to have faith in that negative thing. So it works both ways. So, you know, a lot of Christians who are watching these things and you know, and I've watched them before, and it will affect you. The language they're using, all the bad things that they're saying in those things and the acting. It's especially for, you know, for men who are, I mean, I hope young men are looking at this and saying what they don't want to marry. And I hope that, women are looking at this and looking at the kind of men that they don't want to be associated with. I mean, I was talking to a young lady, the other day, and she was saying that, Raz, I mean, you know, that's how people are living. This is real life. We're just showing what part of life. Really? Is that true? Are you a copycat? Just because it's a real life, does that mean you have to do it? Is it healthy? Is it going to benefit you? I think not. What do you think about my comment, Alicia?
Well, first thing I was thinking is how you imitated her. but I guess on a serious... No, I was just saying it's funny how you had her imitated her. But on a serious note... what I would say in regard to, you know, I guess maybe women and attitudes, is that what you were asking me in regard to how she approached you or how she said what
she
had to say
like
about?
I just realized that she was very quick to defend what was going on in those kind of shows and justifying it, but that was a part of life, which I would say is partially true, but at the same time, we just discussed that a lot of that stuff is scripted, and they want and they encourage the producers of the show. They encourage a high level of ratchetness.
Yeah, and so you're saying she just became really defensive of why are you saying those things. And
exactly.
You know what? I think sometimes when people become defensive, have you heard that saying that when you throw a rock into a pile, how does it go? You throw a rock into a pile of dogs, the one that gets offended or gets hurt says ouch first. And so maybe in that sort of situation, I don't know if I did that saying quite justice, but nonetheless, you get the point of what I'm saying. The picture of the fact that basically here she is and she's getting defensive by that, maybe you struck a chord with her trying to say, mm-hmm. What are you trying to say about me? Am I not moral? Am I something wrong with me for watching this show? So maybe that sort of attitude came from her feeling a sense of, like, feeling offended or hurt in the extent that, okay, you're saying something about my morals in watching this, or who are you? I know people like to say the comment a lot, who are you to judge me, you know, and not that somebody's even being judgmental, but oftentimes people perceive a comment that challenges their way of thinking as being judgmental and critical. So I would just say that maybe she was feeling somewhat offended by those comments, and not that you were intending to offend her, but I just think that maybe she just perceived it that way.
Absolutely, definitely. And, you know, guys, real quick, we have a caller from the 562-221 area code. Hello, caller. We would love to hear your question or comment. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Duana, and I'm calling from the beautiful city of Corona.
Hey, Duana, how you doing? Do you have a question or comment about the show?
Yeah, I do. I kind of caught on the tail end, so apologize for not getting the beginning. But I have to make a comment on the gentleman that was speaking earlier about how, you know, different television shows affect people. You know, I don't watch a whole lot of television. If I watch something, it might be like 2020 or Dateline or something like that. But I really like Love and Hip Hop, so I have to admit that. But I don't feel like it affects me in any way, because I'm stronger than that, first of all. And secondly, if I'm in the world every day with all the corruption that I see, I work around, I hear, I live around, then everything would affect me. If I would let something as minute as a television program penetrate my psyche, then I would be what I would consider a weak person, and I would have to probably shelter myself so I won't be affected by all the things that just is in the world on a daily basis. So I don't know what you guys think about that, but let me know.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Ryan, would you like to respond to the one?
I mean, no, I hear what you're saying. As far as you personally, you said, you know, being in the world and you'd have to worry about everything in the world. And, you know, if you're a believer, you know that we're in the world and not of the world. And the way a lot of things affect you is because you give them a place in your life. And so if maybe this is not your case, but I'm sure you could walk outside in your neighborhood and find the one that's totally led by what they're watching, that goes step by step from the way they dress, from the way they talk, is patterned after the guidance that they're getting from their TV show. See, the thing is, the whole thing is designed to enter your psyche, so it does, 100% it does. And now, it might not show as much for you as the teenager at school who's using the slang, who's using the terminology, who's dressing the way they dress. You know, the style and fashion of the world and out there today doesn't come from the local people. It comes from the television. And
well,
so, I mean, maybe you personally. Go ahead.
You come from the rappers, the musicians, the concerts that they go to. I think it's deeper than a television set. But I do feel that the television, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be shown. I mean, everything is sexual. They really promote homosexuality on there. I listen to KJLH, and some mornings, you know, I have to change the station because it's like they promoting a lot of things that God say is an abomination. First of all, you know, the sexuality, you know, same sex. And they say things like, well, you know, we can't judge, but then the Bible, the God judges. So I know that's a whole other issue, but these are all the things that we're dealing with on a daily basis.
Right.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, as far as what you were saying earlier, you know, maybe you personally aren't as affected, but it definitely has it. Once you give a thing a seat in your life, like a youngster who's idolizing whoever they may be idolizing, whether it be music, whether it be television, whether it be, you know, somebody at their school, when they give that person when they allow that person to fill the void that their parents or God the Father is supposed to fill, you're definitely going to see it in their lifestyle.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's a matter of maturity, and it's a matter of spirituality.
Yeah.
So it is a lot of factors that's involved, and you are right, you know, because like sometimes you watch a television show and a commercial come on, next thing you know, you want a Big Mac, you only need Big Mac,
yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But no, I understand 100% what you're saying.
And I also want to add also too, and I also agree with Ronnie Duana, is that you know, the more you feed your flesh, the more it's going to overpower your spirit. So when your flesh is so strong that it overpowers your spirit man, you know, this thing that you say you may not do now that your spirit man is strong, but when your flesh overtakes the spirit, you'd be surprised what you would do. And at that point, you know, when you're feeding the flesh and watching, you know, things like, I know it's an entertainment factor, you know, and I'm just saying, but a lot of the things that go on in Love and Hip Hop, I've seen Love and Hip Hop before. You know, a lot of the things, it's all about drama, fighting, arguing, you know, cheating, and all those kind of things. It really demonstrates a lot of dysfunction. And so I think that, you know, one must be careful when, you know, when allowing, when you know, when, you know, feeding your mind those kind of, you know, feeding your mind on those kind of shows. Alicia, do you have anything to say to Duana?
before Alicia chimes in, I'd like to say that we also have to keep in mind that a lot of the reality shows are scripted. We think that a lot of that stuff happened naturally, but no, it's scripted. And as you watch some of them programs, you hear the people in there slipping, saying, oh, yeah, this is what I was told to do. And I know they're not supposed to say that because I just recently heard it on a show where they wanted him to really have a lot of drama in a relationship with two different women. And so I don't think, you know, a lot of that, like I say, is fake and phony, but it's real to a lot of us.
Yeah. And what I would just kind of add along what's already been stated is, you know, the scripture I was thinking about is, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you think about a lot of what we see on TV, I think one of the best things to do is, you know, to guard what we allow access into our life, because it will begin to inevitably shape the way that we see things, whether it's how we think we should live or what our belief system is based on. So I would just say that it's so important that anything that we're watching, be it reality TV or anything, we have to be careful not to allow the ways of this world to begin to shape us, but we should be the change agent going into the world, shaping the way this world thinks and sees things. So I definitely believe it's important for us as Christians, you know, to guard our heart and to be mindful of the images that we're allowing into our house through the TV and other mediums like that, because it will affect what we believe.
Wow, absolutely. Duane, I just want to thank you for calling in. We think we'll thank your comments and appreciate you calling in once again. And please call in next week if you listen to the show, and we'll look forward to hearing from you.
I will, and thank you for taking my call, and God bless you all, and keep doing what you're doing, because we need to hear this. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Real quick, guys, I wanted to, one of the things that really shocked me, I was doing some more research, and there's a show that they actually canceled. It was called My Baby's Mamas or something like that. It's about a rapper dude, and he has 10 baby mamas and 11 kids. Did you hear about that, Ronnie?
No.
I'm like, OMG, this is crazy. I guess there was somehow kind of outrage, and then it was going to be a show on Oxygen, and they canceled it. They were going to release it, like, I think this month. It was about a rapper dude. Again, he had 10 baby mamas and 11 kids.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I think what's happening is more and more is that these reality shows are pushing the envelope. Once one reality show has been done, they're looking at another way. Okay, what else can we do next? And they're playing to the lowest common denominator. Even when you think about the reality shows, like there's the reality show with the pastor's wives, and now they're even considering a reality show. I haven't seen it, but a reality show with pastors, but I can assure you that whatever show they put on is going to play to the lowest common denominator. It's going to have somebody who's probably not showing some morally upright aspect. So it's just, it doesn't surprise me when I hear a show like that, because it's almost like saying, looking at the trend that's been going, why haven't they already done this? You know, not that I'm advocating for it, but it's almost to say that they are going in that direction. It's surprising that they hadn't already, you know, come up on a show like that. And it won't surprise me before we start seeing reality shows that, you know, play to what we're also seeing portrayed in the media, you know, gay marriage and different things like that, because that's just the trend that we're in, where we're creating shows that play to the lowest possible moral common denominator.
Yeah, excellent point. Well, guys, you know what, we're wrapping up the show. It was about that time, and I want to thank my panel of co-hosts. Did a wonderful job, as always, Ronnie Ambrose, Alicia Cheney. Alicia Cheney, thank you so much for being on the show. Alicia, you always bring the realest advice, and we're really blessed to have you on. I mean that sincerely. Alicia, I just want to ask you, what do you think of tonight's show?
I thought it was a good show, and hopefully people were able to get something out of it. That's always my prayer at the end of these shows, that somebody heard something said or They had their understanding enlightened. And so I hope that after listening to tonight's topic, that people at the very least, if they're watching shows that are influencing the way that they're thinking and shaping their life, that they'll at least take that into consideration as far as whether they should be looking at this or looking at content that's going to build them up in a positive way. So hopefully it had an impact and gave people some good food for thought.
Absolutely. And Ronnie, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. You had some really good points, and you keep getting better and better, brother. And I just want to ask you, man, what do you think of tonight's show?
Well, I think I had fun, you know, and it stimulated some thought for me, you know, and I'm just hoping that whoever would listen, whether it be now or the archives, would go and check it out, and it would be something to help them in developing in their walk and making, you know, just proper decisions and also just seeing things for as they are. You know, if you're watching a human being who's most likely lost, who doesn't know salvation, and if you call entertainment watching their dysfunction, you know, that's not your position to play as a believer. You know, they need prayer, not praise, and so they need salvation, not ratings. You know, we got to really see it for what it is, that, you know, when you're looking at Flav, you know, you don't know how he goes to sleep at night, what's running through his mind that this is better than facing his own life, you know.
Right.
And like I said, I'm not saying they're not making money, I'm not saying they're not being seen, but I know that's not what is going to feed you eternally. That, you know, what they're doing on the television is not going to fill the void that the Father would fill. And if they had that void full, they would turn down those roles. So we got to, you know, as a believer, if you're watching it, look at them and see, you know, discern where they really are spiritually. And then, you know, pray for them, and because God says only everybody should be saved. So including the reality TV star, no matter where they are right now, the salvation is open for them. So, you know, if anybody was listening, just put all the pieces that we put out there together, do your own homework and research, you know, and then just stand in the gap for them if you see that they need you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, brother Monty. Well, guys, I want to end with this real fast. As long as audiences continue to tune in to networks, networks will always continue to offer reality television as entertainment. To be fair, there is good reality programming out there, such as The Amazing Race on CBS, Unsung on TV1, and Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and so on. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. Entertainment may be going downhill with certain broadcastings, but that does not mean that its viewers have to go downhill along with it. It is wise to choose what is being viewed on television, especially with children. Children seem to soak in everything they see, to let it be something positive. After all, the children are our future, and the valuable things in life should not be forgotten. Remember that watching a program is the same as contributing towards it. When the ratings go up, more of it is broadcasted. Also, you need to protect your spirit. Garbage in, garbage out. And that's my comment. I'm Raz Williams. Can We Talk Radio? That's who we are. That's what we do. God bless you. Have a peaceful Memorial Day weekend, and we will speak to you soon. God bless.
Peace. Back on, spin the coupon.
9. It's Mr. Dale from the M-Town. Behind the limo 10 and I'm sitting sideways. I would brag on the rhyme, but the Christ pays. For the Kenwood, boy, you know I look good. Remote control, got it picking like a fleet wood. Shorty, I'm so hood.